If you came in or walked anywhere near Reasoner this morning, you were reminded of this day and what is embedded in our memories about September the 11th, 14 years ago, and lives that were taken that day. So for helping us remember and never forgetting, we want to say thank you to Sheridan Swarthwood and Asbury Student Congress for helping giving us a visual and softening our hearts today and remembering to pray for the many people that were affected on that day many years ago. People that surprisingly and instantaneously lost their lives, and others that said yes to giving up their life in their efforts to help others. So we go into this day very aware of the frailty of human life. I also want to give you an announcement about tonight. Spiritual Life Board wants you to know that this is the first worship hymn at midnight. Wham! Will be at 11:30 in the Stews, 11:30 to 2 a.m. for the first Wham! A little whoop. Okay. I'm excited to introduce to you today Reverend Dr. David Leader as our chapel speaker this Friday morning. He was born in Southeast England and raised in a farming family, so you will enjoy getting to hear his voice this morning. He graduated from Moorlands Bible College in 1968. He served pastorates in England and Scotland, spent 10 years traveling as an evangelist across Europe, North and South America, and Africa. And for the last 10 years, he's served as senior pastor of Kokomo First Church of the Nazarene in Indiana. Wesley Biblical Seminary recognized Dr. Leader with an honorary doctorate of divinity for his devotion and commitment to more than 40 years of ministry. So we're very blessed to have him today. It was after the death of his wife to cancer that he remarried Janet in 1998. They have one daughter, Victoria. So he has spent time on campus before, but it was during the summer. And this is, I think, his first here in Hughes Auditorium with us for a chapel. Let's welcome him back to campus. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm very happy to be here this morning, and thank you for your welcome. As you can tell, I have a fine Indiana accent. I hope you will be able to understand me. If you have any trouble with my English, I like to tell people, just remember one thing, we said it first, so we say it right, and we say it best, so just be careful. But I am very, very happy to be here. Since the invitation came through earlier this summer, I've been looking forward to sharing with you from God's Word this morning, and I certainly thank you for the privilege. I want to read this morning from Exodus chapter 3, a very familiar part of God's Word, the story of the burning bush. And I want to ask a question before I share this reading with you. When did you last have an encounter with God that changed your life? Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he'd gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me. I've seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people out of Egypt. I had the privilege of being raised in southeast England in a wonderful Christian home. In fact, I don't remember a time when I didn't love the Lord or love His word or love the things of God. But I remember when I was 13 years of age coming into a personal encounter with God that changed my life and into a relationship with Jesus Christ. I remember that night for several reasons, but one particular reason I want to share with you this morning. It is because I was assigned a mentor who gave me what he said would probably be a life verse, and he had no idea what giving me that verse was going to mean. I memorized the verse years ago from the King James Authorized Version. It's the words of Proverbs 3 and verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And the thing that I've discovered over all of those years since then, that the call of God upon a man or woman's life is probably the most important call that a man or woman can have, because it will lead to one of the most exciting discoveries in an individual's personal experience. You see, to know that God has a plan for you and that God is setting you aside for some special task or some special ministry is outstanding and sometimes, at times, overwhelming. But you may be asking this morning, how can you be sure of the plan that God has got for you? How can you hear the voice and know the call of God? Oswald Chambers, in his great devotional, made this comment to answer that question, and I quote, he said, "The call of God is like the call of the sea. No one hears it but the one who has the nature of the sea in him." And that reminded me of Paul's words in Romans 12 that you've heard often, where Paul says it is a relationship with God through a surrendered life that will be able to give you a knowledge of the will of God. Then you will be able to know and test what the will of God is, Paul says. So I believe that every one of us here this morning that's in a relationship with God can know for ourselves what the will of God is for our lives. But how is that possible? How does God speak today? We read in the scriptures of God speaking through a voice in the night. I've never heard that voice, have you? We've heard of God writing on the wall to a wicked king and making his plan clear. I've never seen the writing on the wall. We read this morning of God revealing himself through a burning bush, and I don't know of many bushes that God burns today, but I believe, like Moses, we can hear God and know God and understand what the plan and purpose of God is for us. So let me take you to that story for a few moments. Exodus chapter 3 is a very interesting part of God's word. For 400 years, the children of Israel had lived under the slave taskmasters of Egypt. They'd cried out to God, "God, where are you? Why don't you release us?" And they'd wondered if God even cared. I don't know if you notice, for those of you that are budding preachers, there's a wonderful four-point sermon right in verse 7 of this passage where God gives Moses an answer to what was happening. First of all, he says, "I have seen." There is no situation in life that God is not aware of. Secondly, he says, "I have heard." You may wonder if God has heard your prayers, but I believe that he has. Then he says, "I am concerned." The awesome thing is we have a God who cares for every one of us, and that is why the last point is, "I have come down to help." And that's where the story of Moses and the burning bush comes in. Moses was out in the desert. How did he get there? You know the story. From a prince of Egypt to a pauper in the desert. That came about really because Moses made two great mistakes in his life. Mistake number one, trying to work out his problems in his own way. You know the story of the killing of the Egyptian and the hiding of his body in the sand. When Moses saw one man mistreating another, he thought to himself, an Egyptian mistreating a Hebrew is not going to happen on my walk. And so he kills him and he buries him. My friends, I'm going to tell you this. When you and I try to solve our problems in our own way, we are going to make wrong choices that will end in disastrous consequences. When we leave God out of the things that concern us, we are in a place where we could be in jeopardy, and that is what happened to Moses. The second thing that Moses did as a mistake was he ran away from situations instead of facing up to them. The next day, walking amongst his own, he saw two Hebrews, one mistreating the other, and he came in between them and he made a challenge. And one looked at him and said, are you going to do to me what you did to the Egyptian yesterday? And Moses thought, oh, it's known. I better get out of here. And he ran and he ran, and for 40 years he was running from God. Am I talking to somebody that is running from God at this moment? You know what God wants for you and desires for you, but you prefer your own way to do your own thing? My friends, Moses discovered two important things. You can run, but you can't hide. And you can never run from God, because God will be wherever you run to. So this introduces us to the story of God gripping this man, giving him a life-changing experience that was going to impact him for the rest of his life. Now, from Exodus 3, there are three simple things I want to share with you. The first one is this. God will do whatever it takes to get our attention. Dwight L. Moody makes an interesting observation on this account of Exodus chapter 3, and I quote, Moses spent 40 years in Egypt learning to be something. Then he spends 40 years in the desert learning to be nothing. Finally, God steps in, and he spends 40 years learning to let God be everything. Where are you in that equation this morning? Are you spending your life trying to be somebody, something for yourself and what you want? Or maybe you're spending your life at this moment in a situation where you don't even know what's happening and you feel one of the world's nobodies and you're struggling with esteem issues and with ego issues that you can't handle. Or have you come to the place where you've surrendered your life to God and you are prepared for Him to direct your steps? That's what happened in the desert. In the desert, it happened to Moses through a burning bush. Now, this was any ordinary day for Moses. Moses was now a shepherd. He'd got part of a family there in the desert, married one of the daughters, and now was probably chief shepherd. What a job! Prince of Egypt, to keeping and watching sheep. And he was doing what shepherds do best on this day, watching sheep, keeping guard over them, leading them to the greenest pastures, protecting them from any predatory animal that might come to get them. When all of a sudden, a bush begins to burn. Now, I want you to notice there was nothing unusual about that. Bushes often burnt in the desert from the natural combustion of the sun or maybe a lightning strike. And so he takes a momentary glance, a bush burns. But normally bushes will burn and in an instant they'll be gone. But the thing about this bush, and you see the miracle wasn't that there was a bush that burnt. The miracle according to Exodus 3 was that the bush didn't stop burning. It burnt long enough for God to grip Moses' attention so that Moses stopped in his tracks and he wanted to quote his words, see this strange sight, why the bush wasn't burning up long enough to get Moses' attention. Has God been trying to get your attention recently? Maybe through a circumstance or a situation. Maybe through a tragedy or just something normal that's happening in your life. God's been trying to get your attention. Have you stopped long enough to listen to God? The problem with today's world is that we're so busy and life throws so much at us, we don't have time to see God or even listen to God anymore. But maybe this morning, God is burning a bush in this chapel in order that you might stop and that you might say, okay, God, what is it you want of me? Because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. A number of years ago, I was traveling as an evangelist. I loved the ministry that God had given to me, although it had taken me away from home more times than I cared to remember. And then having a young daughter meant that I was often away from those early formative years. When Kokomo First Nazarene reached out to me with regard to becoming senior pastor, they started approaching me in January of 2004. And until July of that same year, every invitation they extended to me, I said, no, I don't believe that this is what I should be doing. Until on my birthday, July the 10th, 2004, I got a direct call from God that I knew that I was being stubborn, that I was not listening to God. If you like, a bush began to burn, and the rest is history. I don't know where life would have taken me if I'd continued with my own course. God would have allowed me to do that, probably, because you can walk away from His will. But what I'm saying to you through that simple illustration this morning is this. Is God burning a bush? Is He trying to get your attention? Are you ready to listen to what He has to say? As Moses discovered, God will do whatever it takes to get our attention. The second thing I want to share with you is this. God can get us to rely totally on Him so that we'll listen to Him. Go back to the story where we left it. The bush burned, and then something very unusual happened. The bush began to speak. Now, I'm going to tell you, how absurd is that? A bush speaking? It doesn't happen. Well, you do have trees over here in America that speak. Let me tell you what I mean. I was traveling over here on one of my first visits in the early 70s around Christmas time. And somebody took me out to eat in a place called Cracker Barrel. You've heard of it, I'm sure. Cracker Barrel is an ingenious place because they have a shop that you go through before you get to the restaurant to eat. And invariably, even although there might be 20 tables empty, they will make you wait so that you will browse the shop and so that your women folk will get something that they want to see afterwards. They have a plan and a purpose. Well, I was wandering around the shop and I brushed across something that began to sing to me. And I looked, and there was a Christmas tree. Now, two things were unusual about this Christmas tree that I need to tell you, wonderful American people. One thing is this, the Christmas tree had a face on it. Now, trees do not have faces on them. Don't know where you've been, but the real world, they do not have faces on them. And then the second thing, trees don't speak. Oh, I know Prince Charles believes that his plants in his garden speak to him if he will speak to them. But then he's the prince, so what am I going to know? But I'm going to tell you this. Trees don't speak. But I'm going to tell you, it got my attention. I stopped. I looked. And I remember saying, oh, crazy America, and moved on. But that was what it was. Did Moses say that when this bush began to speak? Moses, the bush heard his name. It spoke his name. And Moses heard his name. And he turned and he looked and he stopped long enough for God to be able to speak to him. This is what God said. Take off your shoes, for you are on holy ground. I began before the reading with a question. When did you last have a meeting with God that changed you? When did you last have a holy ground experience that motivated you with a new understanding of the will of God for your life? As Moses took on his shoes, and as he bowed in the presence of God, he heard a direct call from God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and he knew that name. And he knew that he was dealing with the Almighty. And in that instance, a face-to-face encounter with God was going to change him. For he heard, "I have come down to rescue you from the Egyptians. Now go, I am sending you." Oh, Moses had every argument under the sun, like I did when as an 18-year-old, God called me to ministry. "God, I'm a farm boy. God, I have limited education. God, I don't like standing in front of people. God, I can't do that." That was exactly what Moses said. But like Moses, I had to understand when God puts his finger upon your life, you better listen, because God's got something more awesome for you than you have for yourself. And Moses, as he listened to God, began to understand some dynamic facts. Fact number one, sometimes I say I can't when I really mean I won't. Is that what you are saying? "God, I can't," but deep down inside, I don't want to. The other fact that Moses discovered was this: that God does not seek our ability, he seeks our availability. And if you want to know somebody who's discovered that, I have little ability or education when God called me, but I've been amazed at what God can do with a surrendered life. And the third thing that Moses discovered was this: God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies those he calls. So are you hearing from God this morning? Is there a bush burning in your spirit? And God is saying, "I've got something dynamic that I want to do in your life. Are you willing to listen to me?" God will do whatever it takes to get our attention. God can bring us to the place where we rely upon him. Finally, God can reveal his awesome purpose for our life. A number of years ago, in fact, way back in the spring of 1992, I was going through a tough time in ministry as a pastor in Southeast England. I was about ready to give up and had concluded that I would rather pump gas than stay another day in ministry. But that night, God gave me a promise. You know the words of Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. 6 months after that experience, my late wife's cancer was diagnosed, and I knew then immediately why God had given the promise, because he says, "I'm going to prosper you and not harm you. I'm going to give you a hope and a future." God was going to heal her. So you can imagine my dismay when just over 2 years later, she went home to be with Jesus, and the promise mocked me, and I felt absolutely sure that God had let me down. My friends, I'm going to testify to you this morning, God never fails, no matter how adverse the circumstances or difficult the way or problematic your situation. God is always faithful. 3 years later, I met a young lady who later became my wife in 1998. Janet is the daughter of Nazarene missionaries and has traveled around the world. She'd never been married before, much younger than I am, loved children. But you see, I can't have children. So I told her before we married, "We will not have any children. I'm unable to have children. I had an illness when I was very young that prevented that." Can you imagine my surprise when 3 years later, traveling on the road in a little place in Pennsylvania, I get a phone call from my wife saying, "You better sit down because I'm pregnant." And I remember what I said to her: "How did that happen? Now don't even go that way." I remember asking the doctor the same question, and he knew my medical history. And he turned to me, and he said, "It is the hand of God." I discovered that my godly mother, who'd gone home to be with Jesus a year after Janet and I married, had been praying that year that I now would be able to have a child. And in May of 2002, our daughter Victoria was born. And I have discovered something in my life. It doesn't matter whether you're young as you are or old like I am. God hasn't finished with any of us. A story that began way back as a 13-year-old teenager in a little city in southeast England where I met with Jesus and my life was transformed was a story that continues to grow and build with the miracles of God in my life. He's taken me across the world in my ministry, and I don't say anything to promote myself, but only to show you that when you trust God and when you lean on Him and when you take off your shoes and you allow Him to speak to you, you will never be stop being amazed at what God is going to do in your life, even to what God has done in my life in making me a dad in my 50s. I bless God for that. The greatest privilege and awesome joy that I've ever had. So as I draw this to a conclusion this morning, where are you in the journey of life? Why are you at university? What's your plan and purpose for the future? You may have your plans, your choices made, but I would ask you, is God in those? Have you consulted with Him and sought His will for your life? Or has this morning a bush began to burn in which you are beginning to understand the best plans are His plans? And the promise that I received in Jeremiah 29:11 is a promise that I would give to you as I conclude. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. You see, I will tell you this morning, our God is an awesome God, and bushes still burn and God still speaks. Is He speaking to you? Let's bow together in prayer. Father, in the concluding moments of chapel this morning, we thank You for being present in the moments that we've shared together. I ask now that as we draw this time to its conclusion, that God, You will come and speak in these closing moments. I pray that as we have heard, so we will hear from You and be obedient to Your voice. For it's in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand with me, and we are going to sing a little song to conclude with. And I'm going to give you a personal invitation this morning, and I know you've got class and we need to move on. But if God has spoken to somebody here this morning, I believe always acting upon it now so that you can also act upon it later. So as we sing this little song, I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, to Your will and to Your way. I'll say, yes, Lord, yes, I will trust You and obey. When Your Spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree, and my answer will be yes, Lord, yes. If you're willing to say yes to God's will this morning, you may want to just come and use the altar in these closing moments of this time together. The altar is open as we sing.